Mitch's. Amen. There you go. And we won't take as long in the second service as we did this morning. But Mom's pastor for several years was Joey Bird, which is Linda's husband. And but you knew Mama long before that.
Oh, yeah.
And I'd like just to share just some thoughts about my mom. Just, and I know you're doing it again, but it's not maybe as fresh as it was first thing this morning. But just, you know, when did you meet Mom, that kind of thing, and just some thoughts that could make Mom more real perhaps to the folks.
Well, like I said this morning, you gave me a track and invited me to church, and I guess that Sunday was the first time I met your mother. How many of you have met Gary's family? His brothers, Terry?
Yeah.
Okay, they're all the same. Well, no, I think you have a more reserved brother, maybe.
Neither of them are reserved.
No,
that's another family.
But they're all like full steam ahead, and that's how your mom was.
We call that crazy.
But I met her the first Sunday I came to church, and she just stuck her hand out there and, like you said, you know, was very welcoming, very outgoing, very friendly, and I always found her to be that way. Gary and I got to be really good friends, and I would go to Gary's house for lunch. She was very, very hospitable. Of course, she worked at a restaurant and loved to cook. Oh, she could cook wonderful and made the best sweet tea ever.
Ever.
Yeah.
It'd make you jittery, but it was good.
Yeah. But, you know, I think it's really hard because you hear Gary talk about his mom, and everybody has a mother, and everybody loves their mother, and they say things about their mom, and you just wonder, really? Is that really true? Is all that true? And I spoke to some folks out here, and I said, yeah, if you knew Gary's mom, it's all true. She is the type of person they would make a movie about. She was a larger-than-life personality. She was very, I can't explain her because she had so much compassion and so much energy and so much commitment. I mean, she would never have said she was a Christian if she wasn't all in. She was an all-in personality. Not like you don't know anybody who's like that. You know, she didn't pretend. And I just really love that about her, because that's the kind of person I am. Don't come at me with this fake, you know. You know, you go to churches and you meet people who they're all, you know, lace and priss and...
You know. Uh-oh, uh-oh, then they're going to preaching.
Well,
come on.
But she was real. She was a real person who had come through a hard life, and she related to people, and she loved people. She started ministries in our church, and sometimes you get in church and you forget that there's real people out there that have great burdens. She never forgot that, because she carried a burden every day. She lived with the devil, and yet she had a shining example of a Christian person. And I remember the picture you had shown earlier of her presenting. She did everything. She did needlepoint. She did crafts. And this picture was in October, Pastor Appreciation. She always did something for my husband, who was I knew her when I was a teenager. I knew her when I was in college. I knew her as a young adult, and I knew her as a pastor's wife, and I saw when I was a pastor's wife, she always had a word of encouragement. And she was one of the people. They made us a beautiful quilt there, And every piece was hand-stitched. I mean, she was so talented. And this was in October, and it was, because I remember Ruth was born. She was just a baby in 93, and this was October of 93. And the next month, she was murdered by her husband, and then he turned and killed himself because he was such a coward. But, you know, he was just a devil. But she was not afraid of death. I don't believe she was. And I think about Mother's Day. There's nothing that you love more than your children. I mean, there are some mothers who don't. There are some crazy mothers out there. But Ann Riley loved her kids. And she would be so proud of this ministry. And she loved her grandkids. And I just can't imagine how proud she would be to see Elise and Mitchell up here singing and praising the Lord, because she loved God more than anything. And she would be really pleased at Fellowship Church. She really would. She loved this area. I believe she would have stayed here forever if she hadn't been protecting her family. But larger-than-life personality. I can't say enough about her. I can say too much. And I won't go on and say too much, but if you know Gary, you know his mom. Gary's just like her.
Well, that's great. You couldn't say any better about me than to say that.
Yeah.
Would you share that one thing in closing? Would you share how that mama moved down here and she had escaped living with the man who was abusing her? And tell just that way you said whatever.
Well, during that time, I was the pastor's wife, and, you know, I think she knew he was going to kill her. She lived with that fear. All that she lived, she had a gun under her pillow, and she told us. She said, "I'm gonna move down with Gary." And she came, and I don't remember how long she stayed.
About 4 months.
She intended never to come back. But he was a stalker. And I just won't even go into the fact that he wired all her phones and followed her and had, I mean, this guy was a real weirdo. But anyway, he was down here, evidently, and stalking her when she was here and didn't know where you guys lived, but had found out. And he called her from this area and told her what she had done the day before and where she was, and threatened her grandchildren. And she came back. She had escaped, but she came back. Because she loved her children, her grandchildren more, which is what a mother is, a mother. And I don't have grandchildren yet, but I hear grandchildren are like having kids on steroids. I mean, it's like the most wonderful thing in the world. And I don't think any grandmother would put her grandkids in harm's way. And she came back. And there's so much. She talked to my husband and made him pledge he would not. She had to talk to somebody. But she did. She wanted what she said to be kept in confidence. She brought us a picture of how he had beat her up. And he asked my husband to save it, because someday she said, he'll kill me. And I want there to be evidence what kind of man he really was. And my husband so urged her and wanted to talk to Gary, but he couldn't, because he had to keep it in confidence, and she was afraid Gary would kill him. And then he would go to jail for life, and there was no getting away from him. She tried. He would have found her to the ends of the earth, or would have hurt her grandchildren. So, and you know, sometimes you hear Gary talk about that, and you think, really, you know, is he embellishing? He's not, because I was there. I lived through it. I remember when he took the car. You were a teenager. He took your car. He wouldn't let her drive. And I think one of the things that ticked him off is when all the kids got together and bought her a truck. And I guess it was a couple weeks before he killed her. And she was so proud of that truck. And Wednesday night before Thanksgiving,
the night of her death.
That's right, we all came out and looked at her truck, and she told us, she said, "I really think God's going to do a work. I really feel like Riley is, he's changing, and there's something going on." And, you know, on this side of it, well, yeah, something was going on. He had planned, because they all came to pick her up on Thanksgiving morning, and he had planned for her children to find her dead. He had it all planned, and that's exactly what happened. But, you know, I think about this. He shot her, he unloaded the gun in her. And my husband was actually there before the EMTs, I think. We got the phone call, and he went immediately over there. And he had unloaded the gun in her, and yet there was no blood splatter in her. Okay. Well, I was just going to say, you know, he ushered her into heaven. She was standing with Jesus Christ. But he killed himself, and he ushered himself into the demon that he was. And I just, you know, for God, death is victory.
Yeah.
I mean, for a Christian, you know, and I think that's what gave her peace of mind. She knew, you can't threaten me with heaven. I mean, that's what she would say to him, you know. You can't, I mean, he would hold the gun to her, and she'd say, "Well, you can't threaten me with heaven." I mean, she was a very brave woman and a wonderful friend. And
That's a hard story to hear in church on Mother's Day. I know that, but it's a real story, and that's the reality of my Mother's Day. You understand where I'm coming from? And but thank you so much.
I don't think you could have a mother who loved you more.
Wow.
I mean,
hey,
you just
come
can't.
On. I love no, that. You don't can't. You love her? Say, don't you think they ought to move down here? Come on. Hey, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. I've got a message I'm going to preach. But one more time. Could you let? That's not easy to sit there with me and do that. Thank you, Linda. God bless you. And we're going to go have a good, we're going to go to see Uncle Larry here in a little bit. Amen. Come on. I'm going to preach right now, though. Thank you. That was good. It was hard. It's hard for me to sit there and hear. But here we go. There's one. Here we go. By the way, this is wood. We can't do this on our stage. Amen. I got an extra mic. Ed, could you take this if you don't mind? I don't know what to do with it. There you go. Thanks, buddy. I appreciate it. Thank you so much. Wow. Can we do one more time? Thank the Lord for Linda coming up. That's tough. Thank you. You did great. You did great. Thank you so much. I've got a message. It's not going to be long. It's called Things Mama Said. And the reason I want to give it to you today is it's Mother's Day, but also I hope it evokes memories of you being a mama or things your mama said. Amen? So here we go with the message. I've never preached this before, even though you'll hear things that I've said before, because it's mama. It's the way it is. Let's go with it. 83 years ago today, my mother, Annie Locke Reynolds Clark Riley, was born. Are y'all awake or not? Say. Good. She was born in a little town called Rockingham, North Carolina. And my old pickup truck will still head that way every once in a while and go back home. And that's where she was born. For the first 16 years, Mama lived as a poor girl in rural eastern North Carolina, where that little dot is, real close to South Carolina, about 11 or 12 miles from the line. And it's cotton country, it's tobacco country, right up and through there. And it was mill country, mill town. And it was still some of the mills are around, and certainly the remnants of the mills after the Second World War. She dropped out of school in the 11th grade. At the age of 16, she got married. In the next 25 years, she had six children. There's my brothers and sisters there, of which I'm the youngest. She worked here at Revel's Barbecue Lodge as a restaurant right there on Highway 74 as a waitress for about 25 years. Best barbecue ever. Forget about it, okay? When I went off to school in Chattanooga, Tennessee, I went and got a hamburger in Chattanooga. Because there at that restaurant, barbecue sandwiches, hamburgers, all came with slaw. All of them did. So I'm in Chattanooga, I get a hamburger, and I'm like, where's the slaw? I didn't realize there was other people in the world that did things different. You understand what I'm saying? And I mean, that's just the way it was. Oh, man, you want to get a hamburger? Here's how you do it. Hamburger, little chili. I'm talking about the little hamburger kind of chili. Hamburger, little chili, just a little bit. Some slaw, a little bit of mustard. You're good to go. Oh, some onions. Got it. Popular onion. There's the hamburger in North Carolina. Did y'all hear me? That's called Carolina style. Can y'all say Carolina style? Carolina style. That's the way it is. Anyway, so she worked right here. It's funny, though, that restaurant stayed open even after Mama had been killed. She had to quit there earlier because she had phlebitis in her legs and had a hard time walking as a waitress all those many, many years. And but anyway, after she was not there any longer and she had already been killed, Joey, I asked him, I said, you been to Revels lately? Linda's husband, Joey, I said, you been to Revels lately? I'd call him on the phone. He's like, nah. Uh-uh. He sort of talks like this, you know, from the mouse. He said, nah. Uh-uh. He said, I decided I'm not going back till they washed that glass half full of tea up on the shelf. He'd been there like 3-4 weeks later, and there was still a half full of glass or something. It was just changing colors, and he was like, I cannot go back till they washed that thing over there in the corner. But anyway, so later the restaurant did shut down. Amen? Come on. Anyway, things Mama said. That's what the message is. To me as a boy. I started thinking about it this week, and I took my pen out and started writing like I do. Things Mama said. Here's what I remember. I think the first thing, there I am when I'm a young'un. I think the first thing I ever heard Mama say was this, get up and make your bed. Get up and make your bed. Get up and make your bed. There was no like getting up and going to do something and coming back and making your bed. You better not even come out of that room. Mitch and Elise learned to make their bed when they're like two. You know what I'm saying? This week, Abby gets up. Abby is in there, gets up out of bed, goes, sits on the floor in the living room and coloring. Who wouldn't love their children coloring early in the morning, right? You're not a great child. Yeah. I said, what are you doing? Get up and go in there and make your bed. She was like, so recently, you know, I've adopted Abby and Danny, and so, you know, they're learning too, right? Say. And then what we do say. Lay around. I don't know how you do it, but maybe take this from Mama today. Get up and make your bed. Can you say that? Come on. Get up and what? Come on. Come on. That's one of the first things I heard. And then here's what she said. Say yes, sir, and no, sir. Yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. How many were taught to say that? Can I see your hands? Well, look at that. There's more of you than I realized. I have a lot of northerners that come down and say, don't say yes, sir. Don't say yes, ma'am. Whatever. As if you telling me that's going to change what Mama taught me. I mean, when I was a kid, at my sister that was young, that had two sisters. I'm the baby by a long way. She was 11 and none was 12 years older than me. So when I'm 4 years old, 3 years old, they're watching me all the time. They're 16 years old. You know, 15, 16, 17 years old. And Mama made me say yes, ma'am, to my own sisters. Flat out. They were the boss, not me. And that's how I grew up. Now, when it came to discipline, here's what Mama said. I'll wear you out. I still say that. Little Danny. I mean, I love Abby and Danny. I'll wear you out. What are you thinking? And they go, Danny's doing this these days. She's backing up, baby. We're making progress. Amen? Come on, say. I'll wear you out. That's what Mama said. Mama believed it. She was not a Christian, but somebody taught her this somewhere. The Bible says, withhold not correction from the child, for if you beat him with the rod, he ain't going to die. Mama believed it. Here's what Mama said. Here's what Mama said right here. If you run, anything goes. How many had a mama like that? Any of it other than me? Okay, is that the truth? Say, you run, anything goes. What's that mean? I'll hit you with anything. You might get hit in the head.
No, it ain't right. You shouldn't have run. Guess what we learn not to do? Run. We call it take your what? Medicine, right? Amen. That's what you do. If you run, anything goes. When she came home from work, working all day. Are y'all right? I don't want to bore you to tears. You okay? When she came home from work at the restaurant, barbecue lodge, hot, okay? And Carolina is hot, I'm telling you. But working in a kitchen and working like that with barbecue? Come on. So when she came, now here's how she'd leave in the morning, had that white. Remember back in the day, the restaurants, they would dress in all white. Remember that or not? Looked like a nurse almost, remember? And then the stockings, and then they have the white shoes, like nurse's shoes on. Remember that? For your feet and for your legs. That's the way she'd leave in the morning, every morning. She'd come home, and you know, she'd be wore out, sweaty, you know, stuff on her clothes from working. And that old black LTD would pull up in the yard, up the driveway. Well, we'd be there playing football. And I'm the youngest, and I'm big, but everybody else is older. All my brothers are big, man. And it would be almost, I didn't realize until I grew up later, we grew up in a very bad part of town. We didn't know it. Okay? You don't know where you're growing up sometimes, you know? But everybody in the backyard, it would have been like a gang, you know? These aren't like your little lily white boys. These are just, these are people down from that neck of the woods over yonder. They're in the backyard and we're playing tackle football. I mean, there's going to be blood. You're going to have your head smashed in. So Mama would pull up after work about 4:30, 5 o'clock in the afternoon. That black LTD would pull up in that yard. That door would fling open. And she'd get out. And here's what Mama would say. If you don't belong to me, go home. And these are big bruisers. And they would scatter like roaches. There was no, hey, Mama, no, it's third down. Hey, Mama, it's our ball. Hey, Mama, Mama's game over. You understand? That's the way it was. When it came to work, Mama taught me this and said this. Say it with me. Work hard and do a what? How many heard that same thing? It's what you do. When it came to communication, to talking, Mama said, look at people when you talk to them. Look at people. What work? Don't be doing, hey, hey, y'all. Where are we going? Look, hey. Look at people when you talk to them. Amen? Come on. Show them your eyeballs. Also, if you'd ever had glasses on, sunglasses, and you're talking to her, pull your glasses off. She's like that. You want to see who you were. See what's in them eyeballs, you talking to her. You hear me, yes or no? And it's funny, the man she married always wore dark sunglasses. Remember, Linda? He would wear those dark sunglasses, black rims, all the time, even when it wasn't sunny out or anything. Didn't want you to see his eyes. That was after the fact. I learned this as a kid. Things Mama said about who I was, she said, nobody is better than you. Even though we grew up dirt poor, we had nothing. She taught us, nobody is better than you. Don't you think somebody's better than you. Now, you ain't better than nobody, but don't you think somebody is better than you. What was she trying to tell us? I mean, she was not a believer. She was not a Christian. She was trying to tell us we mattered. We had value, right? Yes or no? Sure. Things Mama said. Now, Mama took up drinking heavily. She eventually gave up on her marriage to my dad, P.C. Clark. And that was her beverage of choice, was Pabst Blue Ribbon. At age 40, she divorced my dad. I was 11 years old. She allowed a man who Linda spoke of, she allowed a man who had been sleeping with her to move into our house. And all my brothers and sisters, they were all grown and gone now. It was just me and Mama. And the man moved in. In April of 1977, he was not a nice man, not a good man. He was the opposite. Anything that you think of evil, he was. Okay? Moving into our home. In April of 1977, at age 45, she married this man. And within a few months, he wasn't coming home very much anymore. What goes around, what? Comes around. It's happening now. And Mom goes to drinking more. And she was distressed and depressed over life. And you know, I'm almost 16 years old, doing things a 16-year-old does, playing ball, hanging out with the wrong people, that kind of stuff. It was Saturday night before the days of what? Remote control. And so here's Mama. She's drunk as a skunk, sitting in the recliner in the den. You remember the den, right, Linda? And evangelist Billy Graham came on the TV screen. And Mama couldn't get up. She couldn't get up and turn him off because she can't probably get out of the chair. So Billy's preaching, and Mama's watching, and Mama's listening. Amen. True story. When I came home about 11 p.m., because guess what? That was the curfew. 11 o'clock was the curfew. That's something else Mama said. Okay? 11 p.m. is when you'll be at this home because that's where the rules are, right here in this house. You understand that? Yes or no? Parents, quit playing with your children. Did you hear me say? You hearing me today? Yes or no? Quit playing with... Hey, this is what it is. This is the time. Yeah, but can we negotiate? Some things are non-negotiable. And being out too late is too late. Because there's mess going on. You don't need to have no part of it. Yes or no? Yes or no? Say. It's okay. Yeah, but they won't like me. So what? They'll grow up one day and honor you like I'm doing. Amen? Come on. So, I came home at 11 o'clock because that's the way it was. Even at 15, Mama would have knocked me out. After partying with my friends, I heard these words come out of my mama's mouth. What'd Mama say? Here it is. Would you say it with me? Say it with me, church. We're going to church in the morning. Drunk, slurring her words. I cussed her out. Went to my room. We went to that church right there, Temple Baptist Church, where Linda and Joey have, and their family served in ministry for about 30 years now. Can we thank the Lord for them one more time? Come on. Yeah. Praise God for you guys. So we went to church. My mama said this, I need help. It's okay to say that, okay? We want to be a church where you can say that. Okay? We're not a perfect church, and we sure don't have perfect people in this church, do we, church? Yes or no? Say. We struggle. We sin. We struggle. We have flesh. We still fight the good fight of faith. Okay? That's what we do around here. Amen? Come on. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. That's what Jesus said. Keep looking. Mama said, I'm a sinner. Guys, that's what we are. Haven't we all missed the mark? Say. Are any of us as good as God? No. You're smoking something. Come on. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. She realized, I'm a sinner. I need help. That's what she said. Mama said, Jesus loves me. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Mama believed that. Mama said that. Early, right there. First few weeks of church. Mama said this. Would you say this one with me? I believe Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead. For who? For me. Now you might say, Clark, that's just words on the screen. How can that change anybody? It'll change everybody. If it changed my mama, it can change you. Amen? Come on. And it changed me. You mean simple faith in Jesus Christ? I thought you had to do this and do this and give that and give that and go here and go yonder. He did it all. How about put your faith and trust in Him? Realize you can't do it and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. That's what Mama did. If you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be what? Saved. Are y'all okay? Saved. Come on. Here we go. Three Sundays later, after that morning, we're going to church. And we walked, didn't have a car. And it's not a short walk, is it, Linda? Up Caroline Street. And is it a hill? It's a hill. Okay? And we walked. The only reason I went was to keep some preacher from taking our last dollar. I did not go, ooh, we're going to church. I cussed at it all the way up. I wore a polyester leisure suit that was Carolina blue. I looked like the sky walking up the road. No, I'm serious. I looked like a pimp. That's all I had. That's why at Fellowship, you can just wear what you want. We ain't going to try to dress you up. Okay, come on. Come on. You want to come dressed? Five. You want to come with bare blue jeans? Come on. We just want you. Amen? Come on. Anyway, three Sundays later, December 18, 1977, both Mom and I made the decision to believe that Jesus Christ, God's Son, loved us, died and rose from the dead for us, and would never do what?
leave us nor forsake us. Now, we didn't even know what we're doing. The pastor was Eddie Zimmerman. He was the pastor when you were there, Linda. He was our pastor. He was the pastor. Not much of an education. He worked in a cigarette factory where he put his faith in Christ and God called him to preach. And because of that, Mama got saved and I got saved. Amen? So don't say you can't do something. Amen? Come on. You can change somebody's world with the Lord's help. Things Mama said. Here's some other things. Now, Mama's saved. Now, Mama's a Christian. Mama went home that day, poured out the Pabst Blue Ribbon down the sink in the kitchen. I watched her do it. And that was gold to Mama. She made that commitment to Christ. For her, not everybody does that or can do what Mama did. Mama did it. It's a true story. And after Mama got going here, I'm sure she said this to me before, even after, before she's a Christian, but she said this to me. Can you say that? You're what? You're stingy. Here's Mama's out of work. Did somebody just say you are? I still am stingy. Coach Bears, Dina, would you slap him, please? Thank you. She just slapped him. Because Dina's like Mama. Dina will slap you. Here we go. Keep going. Mama was out of work. We didn't have anything. The man was gone. He didn't provide anything anyway when he was there. Period. Just a taker. Okay? But we had nothing. We had a garden. We didn't have a farm. We had a garden. It was a nice garden. But when we would garden, we would eat the stuff, but we would sell the stuff. And Mama take it and go to the bank, and she's giving the bank lady a bag of $4.50 peck of okra. And I'm like, Mama? And the lady's ready to pay for it. What you get the money? What's wrong with you? That's $4.50. Mama, look at me. You're stingy. Okay? You give to people, right? That's what Mama said. Keep looking. Now, Mama did say this to me. Would you say that? Always give to people. And I wasn't going to say this, but I'm going to go ahead and say it. Guys, probably as long as I'm here, we're not going to have a cafe where we're charging for coffee. I'm sorry. If we ever get to the place where we can't give coffee away, we just won't have any coffee, okay? And charge for things. Why? Because that's part of who I am. That's part, and I think it's the right thing to do, just to give to people. You listening or not? Say. We want to give to people and love people. I want to love people all the way to Jesus. Amen? That's what I want to do. It's not wrong for churches to do that, but I was raised a different way. You understand? Say. Don't give to people. Why do we do the beach things? I mean, our meals are crazy good. It costs a lot of money to pull all that off. But guess whose money it is? You're the one who's giving it. Is that correct? Yes or no? Sure it is. And we're using it to reach other people for Christ. Amen? Say. That's what we do. Over the years, I've had people say, why don't you put a basket out there? We'd be happy to give a donation. I'd rather not have the basket and have the power of a testimony that we love you. Yes, sir. Yeah, amen? You got it? Yes or no? Okay. It doesn't take much sense to stick a basket out there. Well, anybody can do that. But it takes commitment to love people and say, no, we're going to keep giving. Keep giving to people. Keep giving to people. Amen? That's what we want to do. That's what Mama said. Also, Mama said this. Would you say that with me? You got to do what? But you didn't say it like Mama. Here's how Mama said it. You got to give God His first. And the smile would come on her face. You got to give God His first. And this is coming from a woman who hardly had nothing. For people who have a lot to give, you still got a lot when you get done giving. When you got nothing hardly to give and you give, you got less than nothing almost. You know what I'm saying? But she gave because she knew what it was to have nothing and to have a little something. Why wouldn't I give to God? He's the one that gave me anything I got in the first place. Amen. Say. That's just the way it was. You got to give God His first. I had dinner, had lunch with a pastor this week who knew my mother, sat with my mother in church years ago, and he said, I remember your mother saying this. I said, what? You got to give God His first. After all these years, he still remembers that. Mama said this to me. Smile when you sing. I started singing years ago as a young man, and Mama loved to hear me sing. But I'd say, Mama, how'd you like that? Well, she said, it was good. But you need to smile when you sing. You got teeth, son? Show them. Okay? All right? Come on. If you don't have teeth, for $99, you can go to Florence and get you a set. Isn't that true, Linda? Now, they don't look the greatest, and you can't chew good, but at least you can. I'm sorry. Here we go. Are y'all right? Come on. Mama said this, get out your notepad. I'd call her as a pastor with struggle, complaining, maybe family, whatever. And she said, well, Gary, get out your notepad. Write your blessings on one side and write your mess on the other side. And I guarantee it, son, your blessings will outweigh whatever you're focusing on right now. That's what she said. Get out your notepad. Mama said this. Would you say that one? Romans 8:28 is still where? Last time I checked, son, it's still in the Bible. Mama, you won't believe. Mama, I'm struggling. And she had, when Mama got saved, there was a verse that went on the coffee table under the glass and that went on the refrigerator. Romans 8:28. And we know all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Mama said this, and today, ladies, it's on the little gift we're giving you. You matter to God, and you matter to me. There came a time in my life where I was married, and I loved my wife with all my heart. Probably worshipped her, to be honest with you. And it was a struggle. And betrayed me and my children. It was hard, very difficult. And many of you can relate. You know what I'm talking about. And so I tried to work harder. Must be something wrong with me. Right? And long story short is, I got to a place in my life where I couldn't even hear my mother's love anymore. I only wanted the love of one person. Anybody can relate to that or not? Just striving for the love of one person. And by the way, quite a few hands went up. And I want to give you some sound advice. Don't ever let any love for somebody or whatever it might be drown out the voice of your mother. Did you hear me today? Yes or no? Amen? How many mamas here, if your son or your daughter somehow forgot that you loved them or didn't draw upon your love, you'd want to jerk a knot in his head? Say, can I see your hand up in here? Say, you'd want to jerk a knot in his head, wouldn't you? Say. Don't you ever pursue somebody so much and got to have somebody so much that you forget the love of your mother. Did that make sense to you, anybody in this room or not today? Because I did that. And I told the audience this morning, I think the first thing that's going to happen when I get to heaven, Mama's going to slap me upside the head. Then she's going to love on me and hug me. But that first thing is, you forgot, poop, pop, you run upside the head. Don't you ever let somebody, don't you ever pursue something so much that you got to have that more than my love, and that you don't know you matter, but you matter to me. Come on, son, what's wrong with you? Amen? I don't know if that made sense, but just trying to get it out to you. Mama said this, I'm so proud of you. We need to tell our kids that, don't we? Say, I'm so proud of you. God even said that to Jesus, didn't he? This is my beloved son in whom I'm well what? Pleased. I'm so proud of you. Mama said, I love you. I love you. But to be honest with you, Mama wasn't the type that, oh, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. Mama wasn't like that. And I think people can tell you, this is me talking, I think people can tell you they love you, but that don't necessarily mean they love you. Or it won't resonate with you if people just tell you that, especially as a parent. I learned that my mother loved me because my mother taught me that I belonged to her. Did that make any sense? Even when my mother would discipline me, somehow that having me make that bed, having me do a good job, having me, it was no option to cut the grass. Are you kidding me? Oh, I left a section off? Are you kidding me? If you went back in the house with a section of the grass left off, you're going to get a whooping. And we didn't cut like, sorry. No, it was straight. You don't even leave none of the blades of the grass undone. You know what I'm saying? Working in the garden, there wasn't no option pulling weeds. Of course you're going to pull the weeds. What that taught me, Mama taught me that I belonged to her. Mama taught me you were not going to act up in a restaurant, act like the fool. You get in trouble at school, you're going to get way more trouble when you get home. You know what Mama was teaching me? I belonged to her. And that's how Mama taught me that she loved me. Does that make any sense to anybody? Say yes or no. Sometimes we think we're going to teach our kids we love them by negotiating with them. It's all right to talk to kids and negotiate. It's okay to do that. But guys, your kids belong to you. Realize it. Take the responsibility and be a good parent. Amen? Say yes or no. Come on. There's a lesson going on. Mom was telling me she loved me. Even though she said she loved me in more ways than I love you. Okay, Raj, Mama's last time in Englewood. We're almost done. Mama's last time in Englewood. She had escaped. I didn't know what was going on. I just knew Riley was weird and a sort of a freak. And I wouldn't want to spend a second with him. But she came to stay with us. Never told us the struggle. And one morning she gets up. We're having breakfast. Mama comes over. She said, I'm going home today. What? Home? This is home. Now I'm going to my house. Now she said, now you're going to take me to the airport. Am I going to get Laverne to do it? Laverne was a lady. It was a friend of hers here in town. I said, no, Mama. See, because when Mama said something, that was the way it was. You understand? No arguing here. So I took Mama home. I took Mama to the airport. So last thing I heard Mama say when she was in Englewood, Florida, I'm going home today. The last time I saw Mama, message called Mama Said, things Mama said. Mama said, last time I saw Mama was at my brother's wedding in July. And you're born when, Ruth? When's your birthday? March. So March you were born. Brother Terry, that's July. Mama had come home, back home. Terry gets married in Carolina, Pinehurst. I'm up at Moore County, the biggest hospital's right there at Moore Memorial. We have the wedding. My mama and I don't know why it's just me and Mama. Why am I separated from the family just with Mama in the car? I try to remember, why is it just me and Mama? Did God have it planned that way? It would just be me and Mama driving home from the wedding. About 30-mile drive. And as I'm in the car, Mama says to me, it sounds like to me Mama might have worked this all out, be honest with you. She had a plan. And that was her brother, Uncle Lee, was in the hospital at Moore Memorial. And I'm in the car and Mama says, will you go visit your Uncle Lee and make sure he's saved? Isn't that a great memory? And I did. She stayed in the car. I went up to the floor, saw Uncle Lee, talked to him about the Lord, reassured him of his faith in Christ, came back down. I said, Mama, he's saved. He's going home to be with Jesus. I mean, she just needed that peace in her heart that Uncle Lee was going to be with the Lord. Amen? The last time I spoke to Mama was on a Sunday. And Linda alluded to a truck that the family bought. It wasn't a truck the family bought. It was a truck that my brother Kenny bought. My brother Kenny bought my mama a brand new Toyota pickup truck. Prior to that, he had given her a little Honda Civic. You remember those Honda Civics back in the 70s that were so small, little funny looking things? Worth a lot of money now, probably. My brother Kenny had bought that car because my stepdad wouldn't give her any transportation, even though he's worth about $1 million. He actually disassembled that little car my brother Kenny gave her so it wouldn't run. So if you know the Clark boys, Clark Kenny did something different. Okay. I'll buy her a brand new truck then. How about that? We'll make sure that one runs. How about that? You understand? So I got the phone call Sunday afternoon after church here in Englewood. And I'm talking to her on the phone and she said, you won't believe what God did. Say that with me. You won't believe what? You won't believe what God did. I was like, what, Mama? She said, your brother bought me a new truck. Oh, and he was as stingy as I was. That's crazy. You kidding me, Mama? She was so happy. And that's the last time I talked to Mama. 3 days later, Linda already told you. It was Wednesday night, Thanksgiving Eve. You have a prayer service and you praise the Lord. That's what you do. And you sing favorite hymns on a Thanksgiving Eve in the country. Is that right? And then after that, she said, come on out and see my new truck. And Mama went home and was shot the night before Thanksgiving. Keep looking. It's funny that Linda said this today. She said it. I haven't talked to her about this message at all. I believe my mother's last words were, say them with me, you can't threaten me with heaven. It's funny you said that today. I don't know if you've heard me say that before. You heard her say it. She said that. Wow. I never knew that. I believe her last words were, you can't threaten me with heaven. Amen. These are words that Mama said. And I'm done with the message today. Mama said, would you say these words with me? I. Go ahead. Jesus. How about this last one? Can you say this one? I believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead for who? For me. So anyway, what do you say? What do you say? Do you need help? Do you believe that Jesus loves you? Do you believe that Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead? Do you believe that He loves you so much like that? Or do you believe church attendance or you being good? What do you say? Well, Mama said this. I would encourage you to do what Mama did. Amen? Put your faith in Jesus Christ. Let's praise the Lord for His Word this morning. Amen? Come on. A little bit tough on us. Thank you so much. Praise the Lord. Amen.